The reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 to 19, and then verses 25 to 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
So here we are in Matthew's Gospel again. It is the book for the year if you go through the lectionary. And for the last couple of weeks we've looked at grace. But this week we're going into Matthew 11 from verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30. There's a bit of a split in there because that part, it doesn't really help our story as we have it today. But you know, we'll get to that because it's important to see that the context of everything that's going on. Folks, we live in a very, very cynical world. In Jesus' time, John the Baptist was doing ministry and people complained about his lifestyle choices. It's true. They said he was too much of a Puritan. And because of this, they said, oh, he's got a demon. Why? Because he doesn't drink wine, he doesn't eat bad food, he doesn't curse, he doesn't hang out with the wrong mob. And he was dedicated to God. Really dedicated to God. And he was focused on helping people connect with God and preparing the way for the Messiah. Jesus, his cousin, is a little bit different, or second cousin. He hung out with the broken, with the sinners, the tax collectors, prostitutes, tradies, and he drank wine and more. And he's not of God either. Folks, in our lives, I do not think it's going to matter too much what we do. Haters are going to hate people of faith, and they're going to find issues with our faith, whether we like it or not. And that's a really hard thing for me to say. I really don't want to say haters are going to hate, but they really are. I think in every place where I've put my feet as a Christian, there have been people who've been wonderfully upholding of the Christian faith. There have been people who've put up with the Christian faith and said, well, it's good that you've got a faith. But then there are those who have just wanted to turn round and say, puh, what a load of junk. Now, interestingly, this is Matthew's Gospel we're in. And I know you're probably going to sit there and say, well, yes, it is Matthew's. That's what we did the reading from. And I know it might sound strange, but in the reading today, you could be mistaken for thinking that this reading actually comes from John's Gospels to the Gnostics in Alexandria and more. The Father, that is God, is revealed in, by, and through the Son. And so just listen to the words, because this sounds very much like the Gnostic community's reception of a gospel, not Matthew's community. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal it. Whew. In all of Matthew, this is one of these moments where I sit there and go, oh, that's unexpected. But what's unexpected for us is very much expected for God, because Matthew, it's the training manual for the early church. And so Jesus is putting some things down. So let's unpack this a bit. God and Jesus know each other. Well, that's simple. But God lets Jesus reveal God to the world. Okay. So Christ, in this passage of scripture that we're in today, Christ paused in his talking to the crowds with a prayer of thanks to his Father. He thanked God for hiding the truth of these things from those who are wise and understanding, and revealing the truth instead to the little children. Oof. This is actually quite a strong way of seeing things. His meaning is that those who are arrogantly thinking that they are wise and reject God as a result are self-blinded to the truth. I actually think that that's still the case today. People are self-blinded, and then they are, make this clear to me. You actually don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. So this leads then to the notion that those that the world dismissed as simpletons, the children, are actually simpletons. But people, I must say, there's been some people who go, you have to be a really simple person to believe in Jesus. Actually, that's the way Jesus wants you to be. He doesn't want you to make it too complicated. But, those who the world has dismissed as simpletons or children are actually willing to accept what is real about Jesus and God and the claims made in the scriptures. Jesus is not hiding who he truly is from those who are listening. He is fully claiming to be the Son of God. He is also claiming to be profoundly interconnected to God, which is quite interesting. But what else is addressed? Well, the power and authority that Jesus has, his divinity. It's the same substance of God, hence why he's able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and more. It is why his teaching restores and brings to life the dry spirits of the people of the time, and has been bringing to life the dry spirits since that time. But this text that we're reading through today actually needs some context. Remember, a subtext out of context gives you a pretext, and we don't need a pretext to make this say anything that it doesn't need to say. So, just before this passage, John the Baptist, who is in prison, heard all about what Jesus was doing. He sends his disciples, because he had disciples who were with him, to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or is there someone else?" In other words, champion, are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? John wants to know what Jesus' claim is, and this passage, actually, in what Jesus is saying, gives the answer to them. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Now, he's fulfilling some prophecies from the Old Testament in this phraseology. He's using some of the prophetic words of the great prophets in the Old Testament, but he's also saying, "Yes, I am he, the one they've been waiting for." It's interesting that in the midst of the claim of who Jesus is, that he notes that the naysayers didn't like John and actually didn't like him as Jesus. This gives me the great encouragement for all today that for many who are interested in God, and yet I also know many who just want to tear it apart. But if those who want to seek God and are actually open to seeking, they will find that God reveals the truth to them. But if you're just going to have a closed mind and think arrogantly, "Oh, you've got this," I think you're really going to struggle. So who's with Jesus? Because this is an important part of the story. Who's with Jesus? Well, apart from the disciples, we have the impression that he is teaching those who are now seeking to know the truth. Those who are not happy with the state of the church or society and want connection to the Father. See, nothing's actually changed today. I think people are still wanting connection to the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe, not just a lesser deity. So how good is this? Because Jesus then says, "Well, you know what? Come to me, all of you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, what burdens you? You know, what burdens you today? I think if you're reflective on it, there's different things that will burden you. And some are quite distracting, some are quite exhausting, but there are different things that burden us. Do you feel weighed down by where your life is today? That you haven't achieved what you want to achieve, that you haven't got where you want to go, that things just haven't fallen into place? Maybe you feel burdened by political decisions and world events, that the way in which politics is going in our country or in other places around the world, or the way in which the wars are flaring up around the world and turmoil takes place. Maybe you feel burdened by that. Do you feel that the future is looking a tad grim, and that you want hope restored, that it will actually get better? You know, maybe your life has been filled up with grief, sorrow, loneliness, hopelessness, futility, and more. These are all real things that real people go through. Maybe you're someone who's watching who's got addictions that shackle. Jesus says this: come to me, all of you who are wearied and burdened. See, Jesus wants it all. He wants to take your burdens, your sins, your sicknesses, your shame, and he wants to release you. He wants to release you right now, people. Right now. Not in the future. He wants you to feel the release today. Jesus takes the burden. And the heavy burden Jesus came to rescue people from was the exhausting, impossible attempt to earn favor with God through perfectionism and endless man-made rules that the church of the time had put in place. He came to help us find our place in this world, fulfilled and blessed and not downtrodden and exhausted. You know, that's why Jesus came, to bring salvation to us. And this word yoke, by asking you to take his yoke, well, Jesus is inviting you into a close partnership. A close partnership, yeah. As two oxen are yoked together, they have to work together, walking side by side. Jesus wants you to walk side by side with him. By submitting to his guidance and teaching, you align your life with his pace, direction, and rhythm. You know, a life fulfilled as he teaches and blesses you. But he also says he's gentle and humble in heart. Many religious teachers of the time ruled with harshness, and still do today, demanding perfection and leaving their followers feeling perpetually inadequate. Jesus contrasts himself with these leaders, and he promises that he is gentle and humble. He will not abuse, overburden, or shame you when you struggle or make mistakes. See, that's why over the last couple of weeks we taught about grace. God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace washing into our lives each and every day, even when we get it wrong, the next day and the next day and the next day. He what does he do? He forgives our sin for yesterday, today, and into the future. It's just beautiful. So these are significant teachings that Jesus is giving right here in the middle of Matthew's gospel. Folks, as we journey back through Matthew's gospel over the next weeks, I hope you'll find it holds words of hope and joy and inspiration for your lives. See, Matthew was a book that could best be described as the handbook or the instruction book, instruction manual for the early church. It was the best gospel for them to actually gain from. It had so much good stuff in it. So where is it heading? Well, the first significant section of Matthew's gospel, you know, he's got his birth and his lineage, which for the Jewish people, that's important to know that he's come from the right line. And there's a few other, you know, bits in there. But then in chapter 5 to 7 is the first big ethical framework sermon for us all, the Sermon on the Mount. Today we are in a section in Matthew's Gospels, it's best described as the mission of the Messiah section. It gives instruction for ministry and its practice for the disciples and for us today. Next week, we're going to jump into chapter 13. The kingdom parables start here. You know, that's right, some of your favourite old-time Sunday school and scripture parables, you know, and Jesus takes us all on a wonderful journey of learning, and God's kingdom is revealed for those who seek the truth. There's the parable of the sower, the mustard seed, the weeds, treasure, and so much more. You know, as over the next weeks, these will unfold for you. And you'll be online and you'll go, oh, yes, we've got this. Oh, exciting. And they are. They're very exciting. This week, think not only of yourself, but someone else who may be burdened and needing Jesus' yoke and rest. If you need prayer, then come and see me after church or ring me or connect with me. And if it's someone else, then why not ask if you can, you know, send them a sermon link. Maybe there are people who you know who are feeling burdened and weak and downtrodden, and they just need a sermon that's going to let them know that God is with them. You know, and maybe that's the words of life that we need for today. There's a lot of very beautiful things in here. Remember, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. The word yoke can also be translated as teaching. Take my teaching upon you. My teaching is not hard. It's not harsh. It's not going to rip you off. Jesus tells us all the truth. And so, brothers and sisters, as you go into this next week, may you have a blessed week. May God walk with you. And if you're struggling, just, you know, it describes the yoke in this passage that it is a perfect fit. It's not one that's going to be uncomfortable. It's not a yoke that's going to be harsh on you. It's actually one that's carved perfectly for you, that you may partner up with Jesus. And as there are with two oxen, one is the one that guides the other and that leads and gives strength to the situation. That's what Jesus wants to do with you and me. He wants to give strength to us. He wants to walk with us in all that we do in our lives and to continue to bless us richly. Have a blessed day. Amen.